I'm right here.
Hey, y'all remember, man, talk this shit up when you hit them bricks. Best way to get more involved is to tell people about the benefits of this here thing. No beefing, no drama, just business. Anybody got problems with anybody else here, we bring it to the group. We ain't got to take it to the streets. All right. Let's do it.
This is Mr. Naz.
I ain't seen you around the way.
I'm not around the way no more. You wanna find me? I'm right here.
Hey, yo, remember, man, talk this shit up when you hit them bricks. Best way to get more involved is to tell people about the benefits of this here thing. No beefing, no drama, just business. Anybody got problems with anybody else here, we bring it to the group. We ain't got to take it to the streets. All right. Let's do it.
Welcome to the Unconcealed Talk Show with Mr. Nog and Mike Bale.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, everyone, to the Unconcealed Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Naz, and, of course, my brother from another mother, the one and only Mike Real. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, what's going on, not my boy Naz? You know me, I smike real in the house, but you know what I say, you can call me Mister. So, you know, okay. Let's get it on and popping.
No doubt. You know, for those, I think we need to let our people know, our listeners know, a little bit about us. So what we'll do, for those who've been following, you know, some of the things we're doing, of course, is, you know, we're sponsored by Shadow Worlds, the family, the squad. We've done a lot of talk shows before. You know, people have heard me, maybe me on a Man Up show and maybe sponsored the Every Woman show, but people understand that this goes back before that. This goes back, sometimes they say life is full circle. And when you do things in life, sometimes God got to take you through things or you got to go through things just to bring you back, like the prodigal son. So me and Mike had a show. Huh, Mike, how long ago was that? We had the podcast show.
Oh, man. I think that was maybe like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Mike's all about the numbers. You know, that's my big brother. He's all about the numbers. And he would tell me, like, you know, our listeners, he'd be watching the stats more than I was. So for those who know me or those who've heard me before, I'm always talking about numbers, never lie. You know, this man is responsible for that. This man is the one that had me become anal on that because it was all about the numbers. So, again, I got to salute Brother Mike.
It's about the numbers.
You know,
it's
we had listeners overseas.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, we did.
We had listeners in Louisiana, all around the country, you know, because we had real perspective, you know. I think the show was called Another Perspective. What was the name of the show? I forgot. It was years ago.
I think it was Another Perspective. We was actually doing it with a young lady down in Louisiana. Actually, we started out with two young ladies out of Louisiana.
Yeah.
Where we had that yin and yang going on, you know, the male and the female perspective on things.
That's right.
It was really popping, you know. Unfortunately, things happened, but you know, It wasn't like, you know, we were a flop. I put it like that. I put it like this. There's been a lot of new shows that has popped up over the years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody noticed, but there's a lot of real talk out there. There's a lot of the real and all that kind of stuff. So somebody was listening. You know what I'm saying? But it's
true
all
that.
Good. We just have
true.
To we just dust ourselves off and reinvent ourselves. You know what I'm saying? But they won't get this one. I'll put it like that.
No doubt. It's not. It will not happen. It's not happening. You know, and it's funny you said that. No, it's actually not funny. It's real talk. It's at a point that, you know, we in life have to reinvent ourselves. We have to not expect different results doing the same damn thing. You know, we can't do that. We can't expect to evolve our personal lives if we're constantly stuck in this one damn gear. We all change, and I think me and Mike talked about that. And in fact, that was part of the reason why we came up with the name. We originally had another name, but somebody else had it. Mike, remember we talked about this?
Yeah.
You know, we was going to go unapologetic. You know, but because, you know, salute to that. That was it.
That was it. We was going to come strong with that too, but unfortunately, that name was already out there. So we didn't want to be doing no biting or anything. We didn't want the same thing to happen to us to happen to them. Put it like that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Or happen to them to happen to us. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
So, and, you know, when this name came up, Mike was telling me the elements that he would like to, you know, to see what we do, and you know, we share the same sentiments, and you know, just kind of just being able to just talk without being held or being restricted, being unapologetic, being just you know, I can be able to just be me, let go. And then we looked at different words, and for whatever reasons, that word unconcealed came up. You know, of course, you know, in the negative terms, unconcealed, people associate weapon or whatever, you know, whatever. But the terminology is who we are. It's action. It's unconcealed. You know, we believe in life. Why should we hinder ourselves? Why should we hinder what we do? You know, why should we stop? Why we have to have restrictions on who we are, who we want to be? And that just goes to anybody listening to the daggone show. You know, you don't gotta bite your tongue. You know, I mean, of course, you gotta have tact and there are certain things, but there's ways to be who you are. I mean, don't be afraid to be who you are. Don't be afraid to explore. Don't be afraid of change. You know, without change can't come evolution. So, you know, that's what we're here. This is what we're doing. You know, so, I mean, that's a little
right.
bit about us. That's us. This is us. I mean, this is what you get. Right, Mike?
Yes, sir, but I just want to throw a little something on there, Mr. Bass.
What
up? Now, our show.
Uh-oh.
Ain't going to be... Put that out there. Sometime we going to tackle some real tough subjects, and we are going to keep it real, you know. But that's the whole format of our show, to be ourselves and let whoever joins us be themselves, speak their mind, speak your truth, you know, without being concealed or bonded or, you know, strapped in the corner. This is no cookie-cutter show. Okay, so I don't want anybody to get offended. Don't get offended. You know what I'm saying? If you got an argument, I'm going to give it. And if you got a valid argument, I'm going to give you props on that. And he's going to give you props on that. But if your stuff is BS, we're going to call you on your BS.
It's true.
Another
thing to add on that as well, you know, we don't claim to be professionals. We don't claim to be experts.
Nah.
We just live everyday life. We work hard like everybody else.
That's
you know,
right.
Mike
That's
got
right.
his family. I got my family. You know, we worry about who we just come from an everyday. We don't try to overanalyze it. We try to look at things from a logical standpoint. I would say common sense,
exactly.
But you know what? Everybody's common sense is not the same. It's just not the same. I can't say what's common for me because me and Mike grew up in an environment where sometimes we had to struggle. We had to, you know, there wasn't maybe no food in the house.
Yeah.
The lights was out. So we had to do what we had to do to survive. It did not make our situation is like our parents were derelicts. You just say, hey, look, this is what it is. But in other societies, they may look at it, oh, they, you know, they was abused, and oh, wait a minute.
No,
you know, it's not,
that
it's not
life.
Like that.
That was growing up.
Exactly.
That was life.
Exactly. You know, they did, some of these kids getting these buses to school, we walked. I mean, damn, how many miles was that to school from our house?
I don't know, man, but all I know is I had to pee every time I got on my front step, man. I was doing a dance because I couldn't get in the house fast enough.
Exactly. And that's what we're saying. We're not trying to be something that we're not. We just coming from a real perspective. We hope that our listeners and those who do call in, and speaking of the call in, we want to apologize. It has nothing to do with technical difficulties for the show. And, you know, we're working out the kinks behind the scenes. Next week, we will have the call-in number where the callers call in, but right now, we want you to kind of sit back and ride with us on this one. So, tonight's topic.
Yeah. Tonight's topic.
Mike, I'm going to let you introduce it because you curse so well.
Oh. Tonight's topic. And see, this, again, I'm not apologizing for nothing. I do sometimes have a little potty mouth, but don't take offense to it.
Well, first of all right. I'm upset, but you said potty.
Yeah, I'm
potty,
trying to
damn.
I'm trying to keep these people engaged. You know, I don't want to offend nobody the first show. But
potty,
you
God
know,
damn, we take potty now?
Yeah, I mean, my bad. I'm trying to be that might be the first and last time I'm politically correct on this bad boy.
I know, you're going to stop that. You got to stop that.
But tonight's subject is our society is fucked up.
Oh! Sorry, boy. Just like what you said, homie. Exactly what you said.
Think about it, y'all. Think about it. I mean, we can go a lot of different ways with this topic. I mean, hell, we can run a whole series on this topic. But we're going to just touch on a few things tonight. And actually, our show next week is kind of, sort of, it may be like a continuation of this one. But we'll talk about that later.
Word.
But, you know, how you want to start this off now? I mean, like I said, there's so many ways you can go.
Society's fucked up. I mean, all right, for those, I mean, listen, just because you hear us cussing, you hear me cursing, does not make me a bad person, because I know we got listeners. I know already the followers are listening. You know, salute to all those listening. You know, some people from my spiritual network. Look, man, I come from a real place. This is all I know. So sometimes I'm going to drop a couple of F-bombs here. Does not make me mean that I don't have
a... Yo, what you apologize for?
You're right. You got on
me about potty.
Oh, you're damn right. All right. I ain't apologize. It's unconcealed, right? All right. True that.
It's unconcealed and unapologetic.
All right. No, you're right. Tonight, we're going to start from... I guess we're going to have this... Just jump right in. I mean, let's go with the updated situation we got going on. I mean, just right now, our society. When I think about our society, I wake up, and the first thing that I see on the news, death, the abuse of children. I think something recently that happened, man, it made me angry, made me want to cry. I seen, I don't even know what that was, where it was at. I think it was either in Florida or something like that, when a deputy found a baby in a bag, you know, bag.
Yeah,
but was that local?
That was down here. That was down here, man. You know, I live near the Philly area. And when we talking about death and child abuse and everything like that, I mean, that actually happened. It was on the news this morning. They found a newborn baby in a bag. I mean, I don't know what's going on with these. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with these women out here. I mean, you get pregnant. I mean, why are you throwing your baby away like trash? And that's not the first time something like that has happened. You know, they're finding them in suitcases. they're finding them in dumpsters. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not that child's fault that you made a mistake. You know what I'm saying? Put that child up for adoption. Put them in, I mean, not that the
take
system
them to,
is
take them to the local fire department, police department. Drop off,
exactly.
Ring the bells. There's any one of those things
do
you can
something.
Do. But there's no damn reason. Man, it made me want to, man, my eyes were getting watery. I would just, there's no reason, man. It just made me look at the world we live in. And you know what? It could have been an older woman, a middle-aged woman. It could have been a young girl. Mm-hmm. It could have been somebody, the baby could have been snatched from somebody. All these questions we don't know. But this is just the world we're living in. That's what we got to. The moral compass has got taken away from our society. We have forgotten about the human factor. And what happens is when you take certain things away, you say it's okay to curse out your mother or your father, or it's okay not to have prayer, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you're Jewish. You can't do it in school. So you took the moral factor out of the school. You took the moral factor of respect, you know, when it's okay for these kids and there's people to be disrespectful to our elders. I mean, it's just the compass of our society. Yeah. We have lost a lot of moral points. I mean, you know, as they used to say in the hood, there's honor in the streets. You know, I'm seeing young kids or young boys or young girls disrespecting older people. I'm seeing people robbing women with babies in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Where's the honor in that?
Yep.
You know, listen, you're going to do your dirt. It is what it is. You're going to do your dirt. I mean, things happen. The streets are tough, but it used to be a certain honor code. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, look, man, we're going to squab up, throw fists, and, you know, we're going to hug up later.
Yeah,
it was a straight-up joke, shooting in the back. I mean, damn.
I mean, I'm telling our age a little bit right now, but when we grew up, we've had wild stuff going on, too. However, there was like a certain street code, and there was a lot of respect for the elders.
Word.
There is no more respect right now for the elders. Like Naz said, you know, kids nowadays, they walk up to you like, you know, they don't even respect you. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm part of this group on Facebook. You know, it's a hip hop group, you know, old school hip hop. And you had some cats just the other day post some crap about the old school heads. Y'all need to stick with your stuff in the 80s and 90s, you know, and get out this group. They don't even understand that crap that they listening to ain't even hip-hop. But I brought that up to say they just totally disrespected all the cats in my age bracket. And they think it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, because hip hop and music was brought off of the culture and society, and it was built off the culture. I mean, hip hop is part of a culture that helped our community.
Yes, the
key word culture. You know, when I say culture, and our young people don't understand it or respect it, it's the culture. I'm not saying all young people, because trust me, I ran across some awesome young people who's fighting the fight. You know, they're bringing that back, because it's like now it seems to be this pendulum. It's swinging a little, because you see these ignorant ones, because those are the ones that are making the loudest noise at times. But then you do see some great positive young people out there fighting, like the young lady, creator of Black Lives Matter. Other people fighting for, you know, in our political realms, those trying to make noise. I mean, just positive, strong noise. But you know what? It's going to take all of us. But you know what? The system is set up to keep us separated. It's keep us dumb, you know. So they can control. It's created to keep us apart. Period. That's it. And if people don't understand that, it ain't just a radio station, because they took over the radio station. Why do you think Clear Channel bought out some of the black channels in the Northeast region? Why do you think that? Because they want to control the narrative, control the music. That's what it's about.
Yep. I mean, our basically, people, our society is really set up for us to fail all around. You know, from credit to working. I mean, you know, ain't, I mean, we have black owned businesses out there, but you know, reality is most of us are working, and don't take this thing, because Mike Real is not prejudiced at all, but most of us out there are working for a white man. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the status quo out there. Okay. Because they don't really let a black person, you know, own something and get too powerful, because they will knock them down. Okay. So not saying we don't own things. We do own stuff. But, you know, the majority of stuff out there is owned by the white man. And
right.
We're not slaves, but I'll put it like this. We all know how the game is played out there. You know, I mean, that's a whole nother show. Okay? Because you know every black person out there who's listening knows no matter where you work, we got to work 10 times harder than that person that may be non-black than anybody. They push us the hardest. And if we don't meet the challenge, our days are numbered.
That's right.
I've seen that too many. I've been part of that too many times. You know what I'm saying? So don't get it fooled out there, people. I mean, you know, like I said, where most of us are maintaining, but, you know, not saying we step and fetch it, but we know we got to play our role. We got to play our positions. You know what I'm saying? Because our society, the way it's set up, this is how it is. And that's just the real.
Okay? That's
so
it.
Don't fool yourself. You know what I'm saying?
And people, you know, Mike, you brought up a great point, brother. You know, we and black businesses, we want this. It's kind of a sense. It's hard. All right, I can go a couple ways with this when it comes to supporting black businesses, and that goes for any businesses. But you know what? I can only speak for who I am. I'm an African American male, you know, black man. You know, I can only speak from my thing. So it's not an issue about, you know, this culture doing something, this ethnic doing something different. You know, this, you know, everybody, I get that. I get about we're all individuals. I get that. I can only speak from my point of view. Black businesses,
okay.
You know, of course, we need to support our black businesses. Of course. Because we, of course, the black dollar, so the black dollar, it goes, we're talking about trillions of dollars that the black dollar puts in these various companies.
I think I know where you're going.
And we got to put it into our own. But yet, for whatever reason, our black businesses, you know, we don't support that. But then, you know, on the other end, our black business, you got to step up. You got to be professional with this. You got to step up. You got to make the product right.
Yes.
You know, people don't owe you. Well, I'm black. You support black. You know, but you can make your product right.
Yeah.
But on the other side of it, how can we help our community if we're not supporting our own? You know, and they're black people. I'm gonna tell y'all something. Those also people non-black, don't be afraid to buy black. Do not be afraid about black. I'm not buying from that nigga. Nah. If you could spend that, you know, hundreds of dollars on some shirt, you can still buy it on black shirts. But what happens is, when the product starts to get nice and get hot, a larger company comes in and says, you know, I'm gonna make an offer for your product. I'm gonna take over your product. And I'm not making no money anyway. So they take over and they pimp your product. That's what happened with FUBU. That's what happened with FUBU. They was getting hot, and somebody was like, you know what? They can't get too damn hot. They took over, they pimped it a little bit, then they closed it out. So now that black business is done.
It's done, but, you know, they made money off that deal, though.
Of course they did, because they wasn't making money. They was making money, but they said, you know, I'm gonna, you know, sell. But all I'm saying is that black dollar is powerful.
Yeah,
it's powerful.
It's
we have
powerful.
To learn to support our own. Jay-Z talks about owning your own stuff, owning your own shit. You know, just recently on BET, oh my God, Tyler Perry went in about having a table. You know, and that's part of the reason we have this show, the part of the reason we have Shadow Worlds. Because we, you know, honestly, I don't know about you, Brother Mike. I don't mind asking for help, but, you know, sometimes I hate asking for help and not getting it. So I create, you know,
yeah.
I create my own network. We create our own network. So whereas we don't gotta ask somebody to sit at the table. Damn it, we are the table. You know what I'm saying?
<That's>
we are the goddamn
That's
table.
Right.
You know. So I mean, you know, people.
Yeah.
It's nothing wrong with entrepreneurship. There's nothing wrong with creating your own platform, your own avenue. This is what we do. This is why me and Mike said we need to come back with this talk show. We need to come from a real perspective.
But Daz, you have to reiterate that we as black folks need to stop half-assing
and
do our shit right.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm gonna keep it 100%. Okay, as a homeowner, you know, I need different things done around my house. Okay.
Mm.
And I have entrusted some of our people to do some things just to be totally disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like every black person, and I'm going to keep it real gully with you. You know, my father, who passed a couple years ago, he was like the typical black person. He was in business for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like every job he did, he tried to make $1 million off that job. Okay? Instead of being competitive, it was like he wanted to charge the most money out of everybody else, but he wanted to do the least amount of work.
Mm.
The quality of his work was not necessarily great, the greatest. You know what I'm saying? And basically, it was just garbage. He did it the typical, I would just say the typical black way. Because how many times have you gone into black establishments and something that you could have got a whole lot cheaper somewhere else, the black man wanted to charge you, you know, umpteen dollars for it or $100 for it and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that happens every day.
Now,
that
question, I'm glad
day.
You said that. I'm glad you had to elaborate now, brother. Now, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, charging some exorbitant price with...
Yeah.
How you say it, less than stellar professionalism and service.
Mm. Yeah,
you see them, you know, feel me when I'm saying that? You know, so,
yeah.
I mean, I don't mind spending money on good service. I don't
mm-hmm.
mind spending money,
not,
you know,
and
that's something that we all need to understand. Black, white, Hispanic, whatever, you know, I don't mind spending something on good service and good quality. But I don't give a damn what color it is. But unfortunately, the stereotypes and the stigmas that we get about black people is because we overcharge, we give lackluster service. You don't treat me the same. You treat that white man that walked in. You treat me, hey, what's up, brother?
Nope.
And that other person that comes in, a white person come in, or person of, let's just say, Caucasian. Comes in the business establishment. Oh, how you doing, sir? How may I help you? Well, wait a minute. Why can I get that? you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but like you said, we have to step our game up. We have to demand respect. We got to hold each other accountable for our shit. We got to, you know, get right. You know, as they would say, get right. That's it. Period. We got to get right. We got to stop being bullshitting when it comes to expecting better, and that all comes into part of our society and how we're looking, how we're portrayed, and with that, that's a segue, because I'm going somewhere with this, big dog. You know, that's a segue for perceptions. I didn't say you have to dress like
mm-hmm.
somebody else, a white man. Well, I'm not even going to say a white man, because you know what? I've seen more Caucasians act, walk with their pants off their ass and dress all hoochie mama than just as much as black people. But we as black people have to understand perception. You know, what they do, what other people do outside our race, that's them. But we're going to be looked at. Let them act the way they act. Let them dress the way they act. But we're going to be looked at twice as hard, even though we may look the same dress-wise or carry on the same
way.
Right. We're going to be
that's
looked
right.
at. We're going to be perceived worse than that. I can, you know, for example, man, you know, I can see a white young male, you know, rapping, you know, saying, nigga this, my bitch this, and then, you know, oh, that's just a rap song.
Uh-huh.
you know, with pants hanging literally off his ass, you know, underneath his damn near his knees, or some Caucasian girl, some Hispanic girl wearing the hoochie stuff with the thong showing. But then I can see a black young man walk with his pants way down off his ass, nigga this, nigga that, walking on Bob and stuff like that. You know, same thing with the young lady. They're getting profiled. They being perceived as dangerous. They're being called. Police are calling, being called on them. It's a different perception, people. This is society. And that goes to our topic. Society's fucked up. And this is what we have to understand where we at in society. If we understand what's against us, we have that's part of the solution. We know that, listen, that people's coming at us, this is how they perceive us. I need to be better. I'm not saying I have to dress a certain way, but I know I have to work three times or four times harder just to succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mike, you know that.
That's
we grew
right.
up on that, big dog. We grew up on the fact that we as black men or people of color, this is what I'm bringing my Hispanic brothers and sisters, Latinos, we have to work three to four times harder just to succeed. It's crazy.
I just said that, Nas. You know what I'm saying? And every minority, especially the African American, Hispanic, we know this already. You know what I'm saying? It's not fair. It's not fair, but it's our reality, and we deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, if we don't work that much harder, we pay the penalty a lot faster. And we know what that penalty is: unemployment. You know what I'm saying?
What else? You can write down. It's a list. It's a litany of shit, man. what else? You said unemployment. What else? If we don't work harder, or we don't improve our situations, I mean, even socially, we can't relax. We got to work hard. Why we got to apologize for who we are? Why we got to apologize and we got to accept what people are giving us? Oh no, don't worry. That happened years ago. Y'all not slaves no more. Whoa. Hold
on, man. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, man. It's like, you know, my wife, because of the work she does. You know, she has a lot of different parties and stuff she goes to. And of course, as her husband, I accompany her. And one of the biggest things I hate is when I'm amongst the Caucasian crowd, because my wife works with a ton of Caucasians. They look at me to entertain them. And I normally go to these events, I'm pretty quiet because, you know, and as you know, I'm not a dumb man. I'm, like I said, I'm no scholar. I haven't, you know, done all these great things, but I'm not stupid by any means. I can talk on pretty much any subject that's out there. I watch a lot of news, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people call useless new things. I know a lot of that crap. But when I get into these settings, I tend to fall back because I'm not looking to be your entertainment for the evening. And I get perceived as angry, not social, when all I'm doing is just trying to play my position, not embarrass my wife, and, you know, have a decent evening. But, you know, I get people coming up to me, the first thing they want to talk about, basketball. Things like that. You know, everybody knows I like to cook on the grill.
You like basketball?
What?
You like basketball?
Yeah, I like basketball. I like basketball. You know what I'm saying? You know I do.
I know.
Can't
I'm
wait
just
for
saying.
Sunday for the draft. But, you know, I'm not the draft, but free agency. But
yeah.
It's like they're looking at me to fill in their fucking blanks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that shit. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows I like the barbecue. Okay?
Yeah, barbecue serious, bro.
Okay, you know that, but...
Yeah.
How come every time I go to these fucking parties, all they want to know is what you cook lately? You know, they want some fucking tips.
That's
like,
that
you know, get the fuck out of my face. Get the fuck out of my face. That's what I really want to say.
But
you know
but
what I'm
this,
saying? Why can't you talk
why
to me like an intelligent
do that?
Black
I mean,
man?
Why? Why do you think they do that, Mike?
Because you know what? In my opinion, they feel like black folks are there to entertain them. You know, they want to see how smart we are, so then they can either belittle us or laugh at us. You know what I'm saying? Because they automatically assume we, you know, we as people don't know shit.
You are
like
nailing
I said,
something, brother. You're nailing something. You're hitting it. And I wish, you know, our listeners, especially the young ones, understand what you're saying. They're entertained. They want to see they're stupid. No matter what, how far you went in college or whatever, you will always be challenged. You just will be challenged.
Always.
All the time. Passive aggressive. Yep. And you know what? Was a lot of times our younger generation don't understand. You could be insulted without even being cussed at or words. Is in the indirect, passive aggressive insults that you need to pay attention to when you're being talked to.
You have to pay attention.
But they, and that's a whole other topic alone that we can talk about, brother.
You're right, because they do that shit to us all fucking day long if you let them.
But your young people, a lot of our young people don't know that. I'm gonna tell you why they don't know that, because they don't sit there and take the time to pay attention to the details. Why this person's asking me this question all the time? Why their opening statement has got to be about sports? Music.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ooh, I love some mac and cheese. Whoa, hold up, man. I could talk about the Dow Jones, too. I mean, you know, I can have a conversation.
When Obama was in office, that was another one. You know what I'm saying? They always like Obama was at my house eating chicken last night.
I like Obama. Why has that got to be the top of your conversation? Oh, no, don't be offended.
Yeah.
I have black friends. I have a black girlfriend
Why they always got to point out they got a black friend? You know what I'm saying?
It's a justification of guilt. But
yeah.
You know what, Mike?
Ladies
ladies and gentlemen, those listen, this is what we talk about. This is a part of society. This conversation right here, it's so multifaceted that we could talk about different things, because this is just the way we're living in the society right now. But I want to play something, Mike, and after I play this, I need you to kind of, you know where I'm going with this, but for our listeners, I want to play this. It's all wrapped up in society, and once you finish listening to this, I want you, we're going to dive into this, you know, because it appears that we're having a good combo, homie. Let's go.
All right.
Trauma, pray, please stand. You step to the line, please stand. Raymond Santana Jr., please stand. Corey Wise, please stand. Matt of the State of New York. As to the count of rape, the first degree. As to the count of assault, the first degree. As to the count of assault, the second degree. As to the count of riot,
I don't know how many of our listeners out there actually seen that program, because it's not a movie. I don't want to call it a movie because it was like four different episodes.
It was a miniseries, right?
But it was like a little miniseries. But if you have not seen When They See Us on Netflix, you need to stop what you're doing. Even stop listening to us right now. And you need to put that shit on. Because that's some of the realest shit that you will see. And although this happened back in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still very, very relevant today. You have five young black men. The oldest was 16 years old.
That's right, Corey Wise.
Who got convicted for a raping a white jogger in Central Park over in New York.
Assault. assault. They got hit with that
assault,
as well. Multiple charges.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. And they didn't have a single clue. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have DNA. They had nothing. All they had was an overly aggressive prosecutor who basically...
Linda Fairstein.
Who basically patched this whole thing together because they were all in the park that night. But not just them. There were a whole group of kids in the park because they were what they call wilding. They were all in the park.
All he was doing was just being... They was out there acting a fool, acting like jackasses, but a bunch of them. But
they were acting like kids.
Time.
That's right. But the thing about it, they weren't even in the place where the rape took place. They were on the other side of the park. Okay. But these kids, their rights got violated. The episode one would truly bring a tear to your eye. When you see, you know, what these kids went through, the promises that were made for them to collaborate a story that they knew nothing about, just so they can go home. And they had no clue what the hell they were talking about, but they were fed the information to say on tape, you know, to implicate each other. And I don't even think, Naz, when you think about it, most of them didn't even know each other.
No, they didn't. They basically found, I think, with the exception of two of them, that actually knew each other.
Yeah.
Because the oldest was just going with, I believe it was, Corey. I think
Corey,
he was going.
He was going with Yusuf.
Right. He was just there to back his boy up. The cops just random stops.
That's right.
Random stops. You know, separated them. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Without disclosing where I work at, what I do, that's a tactic. It's an interrogation tactic. You separate everyone. You put false information. Mm-hmm. The interrogation is so long that it tires them out. It tires them out. They purposely frustrate you, make you fear tactics. They go on and on and on again. They say different things, ask you different questions to a point that you almost believe it. Then they give you different names, feed you names. You know, well, say this person did it, we're going to let you go. Now, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, anyone who's unfamiliar with the Central Park jogger case, I suggest you research it. It's one of those who's young, those who maybe just don't want to pay attention to the world. Wake the fuck up. You need to check out this show, like my brother Mike said. You need to research it because they was underage. Rain was 15. Yusuf was 15. Corey was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Antoine was 15. Kevin was 15. We're talking about the four youngest served 7 years. 7 years. They got arrested at 15 years old. Corey being 16. Charged as an adult. Served 13 years.
Yeah.
13 years. How do you bring
and
that
he
back?
Was mentally, and he was mentally challenged.
That's it. Mental health. No help in what he is going through with the abuse in jail. All of those young men. All of them. Now, it's great. They was exonerated of the charges on 12/19/02. However, the damage is done.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring that back to them. Yeah, of course, they was awarded $41 million in 2014 with the youngest receiving $7.1 million and Corey receiving $12.2 million because he spent the longest time in jail. But, Mike, we talked about this early behind the scenes that – you know, they was on Oprah. And you need to check it out, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Oprah talked to these young men, to these men.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let me say, because they're about our age now. They talked to them. You can't bring that back. It is no amount of money to bring back the pain that they caused, not just to those young men, their families, their lives. They took the most important parts of their lives away from them. But we saying this, ladies and gentlemen, and young men, I need y'all to hear me on this one. And Mike can relate to this as well because we lived it, and also we have sons.
Yeah.
It's perception. And, you know, when you hear your mom say, listen, don't hang in this area, or your dad say, look, I don't need you to be over here. Listen, man, you know, they always get, oh, I got it, don't worry about it. You know, stop that. Stop.
Yeah,
because
it.
When it's all
stop.
Said and done, they do not give a damn about who you are. It's the color of your damn skin.
Nope.
It doesn't even matter. It happened in the 80s, because it happened in the 90s, happened in the 2000s, and so forth and so on. Your black ass is still a target, period.
That's
and
right.
Even worse, there's even more killings now of young of
yep.
black people, even more now than ever. So that just tells us, tells you, tells everybody else listening to this damn show that society's fucked up and things has not changed. And at what point are we going to stand up for ourselves? And if we do stand for ourselves, in all due respect, you know, protest and taking a knee, it's good. It creates conversation. But at the same time, taking a knee, you're getting
yep.
a fucking club on your head.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying, Mike?
All our black youth, man, are out there getting killed, you know, by the George Zimmermans of the world and our fabulous police departments out there, and ain't none of these people doing fucking time.
Exactly.
None.
And you know what? It's not just
none,
the white
zero,
person
nine.
Doing it. It's not just the white
nah.
person doing it. It's not.
No,
we're
it's
killing
not.
Our own, and there's no justification. And Mike, man, you know, this is a passionate topic for me, Big Dog, as well as for you. You know, the protesting is, it's great. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it serves some purpose. But at what point do we say enough is enough and we stand up and
exactly.
fight for our rights? Because, you know, there was a friend of mine. I know they want to kill this gun, you know, the gun situation, because it's horrible what they're doing out here. You know, as far as with the guns and, you know, the weapons and automatic weapons. It's horrible. But you know what? In the hood, who's manufacturing bringing these guns in the hood?
Huh. Same person that brought the coke in.
Yeah. Genesis side. You know, I'm gonna create the scenario where you guys can't afford to live nowhere else, you know, but you can afford to live over here. We're going to minimize your job situation so you can only get work over
yep.
here. You know, I'm gonna make it harder for you. You know, you don't need this man in your life. You don't need a father because you're feeding that to some of these women, and these mothers out here. You don't need it. You can do it on your own. So that's why I'm gonna help you out and get you in the system. I'm gonna try to lock his ass up. So I start
yeah.
in school by when you get in trouble, I'm now creating a database on anything you get in trouble and turning it over to the local state. So let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Every state has a database. When a child gets in trouble in school, they create a database and it goes to that state department. So what happens, they follow you.
It's called that permanent record.
Correct.
It's
not a criminal record.
Y'all didn't. No, it's not. But see, it's that thing that people thought was just an illusion. But as my brother Naz has said, that shit is real.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? Your permanent record. Okay, like you said, no, it's not a police record or anything like that. But you best believe you get caught up in some bullshit out there. Your shit gonna pop up, and it will be used against you.
That's right.
Okay?
Jobs, everything else, everything. Real talk.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that. I mean, you know, you're being looked at more than you think you are. You know what I'm saying?
And even more now because young people are making it easier for them now. Oh hell, shit!
Oh,
young
of
and
course.
Old with social media.
Hold up! You gotta say that again, man.
With social media, you just giving them the shit now.
Yeah, let me post
you know,
this. Let me yep. do this on Twitter. I'm gonna track everything you do. I'm gonna track everything you do. I'm gonna put it on Twitter, put it on social media. All that stuff's permanent. Let me tell you something, Mike, you know like I know. That stuff ain't going away, man. That stuff ain't not going away. But it's a society. It's always, you gotta understand, there's powers that be that want control. How do you get control? By you creating the narrative. You controlling the environment. I'm gonna control where these black people live at. And if you do move out of the hood and move to a decent area, let me tell you something. You are being watched more than ever. They, Mike, you know,
uh-huh.
I'm not going to tell you business, Big Dog, but
uh-huh.
you can't. You have something nice. Why you need
yeah.
to be harassed? Because you work hard to get it, but the police stopped you. They stopped you. They already knew that you had no warrants. They knew your car was fine. They knew everything was going on fine. But it pissed me off, man, because it happens every day.
Yo, keep it real. They didn't stop me. I probably would have understood if they stopped me. They stopped my wife. And anybody that knows my wife knows ain't nothing intimidated about her at all. Okay? She's just a young woman on her way home from work, because when she got stopped, it was like 5:30, 5:45 in the afternoon. Okay?
Rush hour.
And she
Ladies and gentlemen, rush hour.
Rush hour. Rush hour. And then she, you know, she texts me and says, and she got stopped right down the street from my house. And they are, like Naz said, they already knew the information. The car was clean. Wasn't no warrants, you know. And then on top of that, they had 3 cop cars behind her. And my, like I said, anybody that knows my wife knows there's nothing to worry about with my wife. But they had my wife shaking to the point where the cop even asked, are you okay? And my wife was like, no, I'm not. But how was she supposed to feel when she got 3 cop cars behind her and she didn't do it? And they claimed they pulled over, guess for what? For tinted glass. Tinted glass. Where I live at, 90% of the people have tinted glass. But we ain't even gonna go there.
Oh, you gotta wrap that part up. You know where you're gonna go. You gotta finish that part up. Now, y'all heard that, what he just said, right? Y'all pulled over, tinted glass. What do y'all think is supposed to happen next?
She's supposed to get a ticket.
Word.
But at the end of the day, they didn't even give her a ticket. Now, what was the sense of that?
And make matters worse, what color was that officer, brother?
African-American. Black.
Woman.
Not even an officer. Not even an officer.
A detective.
Now, we all know detectives don't be making stops. Okay? That's for the uniforms. So why is a detective pulling my wife over? Well, like Naz said, we have something nice, and they just felt the need to, you know, be entertained.
You brought it right back to the circle, bro. Right back to the circle. You did. That's remember, we started up the show with that.
Yeah.
And people, you need to understand, this is society. I mean, people, you know... My son used to say stuff like, I don't get why they doing that, or they ask a whole bunch of questions. You know what? Maybe it's not for you to figure out. Some people, if not a lot of people, they find it entertaining to do things, deny someone a job, deny a promotion. Oh, I'll fix them. Mm-hmm. I'll fix that nigga, you know, whatever. Or, you know, who she thinks, you know, she got a college degree, or he got a college degree. Oh, who he thinks he is. Oh, he's a well-built joker. I mean, even at my damn job, I remember I had to check one of the supervisors, department managers, like, oh, listen, what you play for the teams? To play for the team, for our softball team. What? How do we jump from talking about reports to playing baseball?
You know why?
I get stereotyped.
In that yard, nigga.
You know what? We're gonna talk about being in the weight side. Yeah, I'm done with that. But Mike's right. It's a stereotype. I get stereotyped because I look a certain way. I get stereotyped because I'm built a certain way. And it's a shame because it's not my fault. I may talk with a little bit more authority than the average person. It doesn't make me aggressive. You know, that's a whole nother topic about aggression and passion. People misconstrue passion for aggression. I mean, you talked about that before, brother, but that's a whole nother topic.
We talk about it all the time. I've never worked a job where I have not been accused of being angry. And I have to look at him sometimes like, why am I angry? Because, I mean, because I'm coming in not really talking? How do you know I didn't have something going on at home that I'm still carrying with me?
But it, but know, it's because you're not sharing that information, dude.
Exactly, but, you know, it ain't none of your fucking business. You don't share your information with me.
But again, it's and about people, entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about it.
Here it goes.
This is our society. It's the society that we live in. It's like an issue of chess. Like, you know, I'm going to mess with this person's life. And there's actually people out here who does that. I think, what was that movie, Trading Places? These rich jokers thought it was funny to mess with people's lives. Is that happening today? Yes. The same way it's happening, and to bring it back to that miniseries, when they see us, they was messing with lives to build
lives.
Her agenda, to build their agendas. These detectives, I'm gonna get this, gonna be a career case. Listen, y'all, instead of y'all doing y'all goddamn jobs, y'all mess with lives. Y'all affected lives, and y'all didn't even give a damn. Now the people in the jury, you know, look, I wasn't there. I can't say how they come up with the decisions. What, you know, in that.
You know how they came up with the decision, because it was an all-white jury.
Yeah.
You know how they came up with the decision.
But it was about perception.
You know what I'm saying?
But again, big dog, it's about perception and how we carry ourselves. And if we and people of color understand that, even people, all Caucasian, if we all understand that the challenges and have the real talk about our society and the reality, because I'll tell somebody in a minute, you want to trade places with me? Oh, hell no. Hell no. You know, there's been many trainings out here that they talk about cultural sensitivity, and there's so many people that don't want to be part of that conversation. Caucasians that I know don't want to be part of it. Oh, that makes me nervous. That makes me, why? Why? Because we're having the conversation about society. You're having a conversation about what's really happening. Why are you uncomfortable to have this conversation? But you're very comfortable with what's happening, or you're looking like, or you feel sorry. You have sympathy for those who's going wrong, but you don't have empathy. That's the two different words.
Yeah.
People need to understand that. If they understand, except these, I feel sorry for. But, Mike, man, again, we almost had an hour, big dog. Damn.
See, people, this is what we're talking about. Basically, what we've done is brought you guys into our world. This is the thing that me and my man right here, we talk about a lot. Just different shit that goes on out there, and we brought it to a forum where you guys can join us. Like I said, you know, y'all have no idea the kind of shit that we talk about. We talk about, like I said, we ain't no average. We know we're no scholar. We're not these doctors and all that kind of stuff. We just some real niggas that, you know, that talk about a lot of positive things, positive and negative. So, you know, we really encourage you guys, once we get off our call-in number and stuff straight, to join us, be a part of this. Because, all you can do is grow from this. I mean, and like I said, I know a lot of you guys out there are feeling the same way we feel. Some may be feeling a little different, and that's cool, because everybody's entitled to their opinion.
That's true.
Be a part of the conversation.
And we promise you, our call number will be available for the call, and you'll be part of the show. You can listen, and that's the beautiful thing about it. You can take us anywhere. You want to check out our archives. You can check us on Facebook, the Unconcealed Talk Show. You can also check out the archives on shadowworlds.com. You can www.shadowworlds.com. That's the Z at the end of worlds. You can check us out there. You know, and we're gonna be putting some dialogue up there. We're gonna be going hard. So please like our page, man. You know, like our page. You know, like the Facebook page. Like us on Instagram. You know, we gotta set that up. Damn it, I almost forgot about that. But listen, man, we got about a minute left, Mike. Man, you know, next week,
not even
next week's show, we are gonna be talking about the land of the free, my ass. We're going to address what our freedoms is not. You know, we're not politicians, but we just come from a real place and understand. And we're going to talk about the Constitution, how it really doesn't affect everybody. Mike, you know, we got about 30 seconds, man. You got any in the comments, big dog?
Nah, man, I ain't got no real comments, but just, you know, it's Mike Real, it's Mr. Nas. This is how we do, unconcealed. You know what I'm saying? This is how we roll. Be a part
Word
of the
up.
Party.
Yeah, no doubt. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank everybody. And whatever you do, stay blessed and favored. Don't let no one steal your joy. God bless everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, unconcealed.